Hi, I'm Bella Gandhi, founder of Smart Dating Academy and your host of this beautiful podcast. We're here to bring more love into your life, regardless of if you're single, if you're married, if you're thinking about becoming single, if you're thinking about becoming married or finding the lid to your pot. And we're going to bring more life into that love that you have or you want. You might have seen me on Good Morning America or Steve Harvey or the Today Show or 100 other places, but I'm so happy that you are here with us because we're going to make your life and your love better. All right, you guys, this is one of the biggest questions I get from everybody is, oh my God, how do I flirt? How do I increase my confidence? So today I cannot tell you how excited I am to give you guys the gift of my friend, Kimmy Seltzer, who is a confidence therapist, authentic dating strategist, and an image expert. Kimmy, thank you for being on.
Oh, this is so special. Thank you for having me on. I mean, we were just talking about off air, like we met so many years ago, and I love that we're here now together on your podcast.
On my podcast. And quick insider's note, and I'll know that you listen to this. Kimmy and I grew up in neighboring suburbs in Glenview and Northbrook, Illinois, and we went to sister rival high school. So there you go. So high five, girlfriend.
I know, but we're not rivals. Thank God we're friends now.
Absolutely. 100%. So let's dive right into this. So you've got a great background, Kimmy. You were a relationship. You were a therapist and then found your calling in helping people build their dating style, their dating confidence, their flirting skills. So tell me, what is your magic formula, the charisma quotient? And tell us, how do you use all of this and all of your juice to build this sexy but authentic dating confidence? Let's just go into it.
Yeah. I mean, I would be amiss if I didn't share a little bit about my story and how I got into this. Because as you explained, right, like I was a therapist and I still infuse therapy into helping people. But really, the reason why I'm so passionate about doing what I do is because of my own story. And the charisma quotient came out of that, to be honest. And, you know, I was, again, this good girl from Chicago leaving, you know, the Chicago life at the picket fence, and I had the dog and the kids and the husband. I don't have the husband anymore. You know where the story's going, right? So obviously we picked up and I had that traditional life. And I really thought that that's where my life was going to be. And in that moment of time, I really believed in working on the inside out, like, right, coming from that place of working really on who you are and all that juicy stuff that we do on the inside. But then my own story happened, and why I flipped the script on all of this, because we moved across the country and we land here in La La Land, LA, and we do what all the other people here do. We get a divorce, and joking, obviously, issues insert in story. And what, you know, here I am just all alone in my new castle, not knowing what to do with my new life, basically. And I everything that I knew in the traditional sense just went out the window. And right. I was in this like really sad space and place, and my clothes reflected it. Okay. So if you saw me back then, I would not be wearing pink. First of all, those of you who are seeing me right now, I was in all black with my nursing bras. I wasn't even nursing any longer, and my Birkenstocks. And I was like, how am I going to attract a man looking like this? Right. But I was
hilarious.
I was so sad, you know, and I call it my black period, because it really reflected my mindset. I was stuck in my clothes, stuck in my mindset. I did not know how to get out of my own way. And here's the kicker. I was a therapist. I should know better. But if anyone were to come to me in that time, I would have been like, you think you have issues? Let me go on the couch for a second.
Right.
And everything inside, like that I knew about that I could help others with, I could not even help myself with. And I did the work. Bella, I did the work. I had the counseling. I did all of that. But again, there I was, stuck in my clothes and my mindset, going
and
nowhere
your
fast.
And your nursing bras, yeah, and your black and wardrobe. I'm just thinking of you.
No, so unsexy. Like, and so I did something very non-traditional. I looked in the mirror one day and I was like, okay, I am horrified at what I see here. I'm going shopping. This is where it all, like the charisma quotient started here. So I do shopping therapy, and I know you do this with your clients as well. Cause I mean, really, like if you're looking a certain way and not feeling it, like that's one of the reasons why I wasn't going after it. So I go into the store, and what am I doing? I'm doing what I always do. I'm pulling black clothes, and I think I'm up-leveling myself because I'm buying new clothes and I'm putting them in my arms. And this personal shopper, I now call her my angel. She came up to me and she says, ma'am, I've been watching you and I really think you should try this on. And she holds up the red dress.
Oh,
nice red dress. And I said, that's so sweet of you, but that's really not my size. And that's really not my color. She says, honey, that is your color. That is your size.
Bam. Your shopping angel was like, yes, sweet girl, that is your damn color. You're hot and you need red.
And I caught my red dress moment because it was like she hit me over the head with that red dress. And I came to, and you know, when certain people give you these messages in your life and you're really able to hear it.
Yeah.
I heard it. It was like a megaphone in my ear. Try it on. And so I grab it. I try it on. I twirl around like Cinderella.
Oh,
bam. I look in the mirror and I was like, wow. I just kept staring at myself. I'm like, there she is. Like, this is who I am, but I didn't see myself for so long. And I realized that there was this visceral response that was happening when I tried on the red dress. So I bought it that day as a costume, and I called it a costume because I didn't really like believe it yet. I had to marinate in it. And so I walked out into the world and all this magic started happening, right? New suitors began to come my way and all this opportunity started knocking on my door. I think that's when I met you, possibly, maybe shortly year after. But I realized there was a symbiotic relationship between the outer and the inner when it came to confidence, that it was not superficial, that how you feel on the outside really reflects how you feel on the inside, and you have to work on both. So that's where the charisma quotient was born. And now I believe that you have to work from the outside in. And so what the formula speaks to is really three pillars: is first working on what I call your style intelligence, which is how you market yourself. It's your clothes, it's your body language, it's your first impressions, it's your energy. Then I go inward and work on your emotional intelligence. And that's how you express yourself, your vulnerability, the authenticity, how you really like show up and express that. And the third pillar is your social intelligence. And that's how you manage interpersonal, you know, relationships. And yes, that includes flirting. So that's where flirting comes in. And so when I work with people, I really look at those three pillars and help people like really develop skills in each of those areas, because that's what's going to get you the results. Because that's what happened to me. And I love helping others with it too.
What a great story. And I love your red dress moment. And I want every listener, you out there, whether you're commuting or driving or taking a walk or sitting at your desk listening to this, I want you to have your red dress moment. And maybe you're a dude and you're not quite feeling like you need a red dress moment, but I'm sure Kimmy and I will come up with another metaphor for you.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Oh, guys have red dress moments too, but it's not a dress.
Right. Right. So, for the people listening, what would you tell them? What is step one right now? You said style, emotional intelligence, and social intelligence. And we're going to work now from the outside in, which I love, right? Because it's kind of counter to what we're all taught. What is step one for our dear listener who is listening right now? What can they do? Something they can do today to start to build their own charisma?
Well, and this is why I love working on the outside first, because it's something that's instant. You know, there's not too many things in life that you get that instant gratification. And the results, there's nothing like looking at your wardrobe and doing a wardrobe audit, right? And saying to yourself, how am I marketing myself? You know, and because I realized for myself that the black clothes were really acting as a cloak to keep me invisible. from men because I was scared. Quite honestly, it's like if even if I got the attention, I didn't know what to do with it. So really taking a hard look at how you're putting yourself out there. And I have a formula because you asked about, you know, something tangible. I call it the three C's, and everybody can do this with their own closet. Like just take a look at the clothes that you have and look at these three areas. Number one, do you have color? Right? Like I talk about color, and color are attractive colors. I know you teach this as well. Like when a woman wears red or pink, she will get more action online and off. Like it, there's scientific proof around this.
Right.
So I always teach people to be comfortable and get a shade of red or pink that really works for their skin tone because it's different for every skin tone. Number two is get the cut of clothes that is right for them. You know, every body has a different body shape. And so for women, there's five body shapes. For men, there's three. And I have a little gift at the end that I will share with you so you can determine. Pinky drop. Yeah, that will determine your body shape. But once you know what clothes flatter your figure and what clothes to stay away from, it builds your confidence in your clothes. So that's huge. And number three is just looking at the clothes that make you feel confident. So I call it confident clothes. Everyone has a go-to outfit, right? Like if you had a date tomorrow or you have a social event, what is it that you're putting on, and figure out the why. Do you get complimented in it? Do you feel comfortable? Do you, you know, just like the way it feels? Because that is going to exude a certain energy, right? Like when you walk into a room and, you know, the first impression, I mean, Bella, you probably know this. It's only 7 seconds now. Like, that's crazy. It was 30 seconds, I think, 2 years ago. So, you know, what you say isn't even as important as how you show up in that initial hit. And if you get good feedback in that initial hit, that's going to give you the confidence to move on.
Oh my gosh. I love that, you guys. So the first thing to do, like Kimmy says, is take a look at your wardrobe. Do a wardrobe audit. And if you can't hire a stylist like Kimmy, she's in LA and you might be listening from wherever you are, you could get somebody local to help you. Or I'm sure Kimmy would do a Zoom audit of your closet. Or if you can't spring for that, or you're not ready for that, have someone in your life who speaks truth, who will be candid with you. I have those people in my own life, just letting you know. And you know who you are if you're listening, as well as stylists that work with my clients. But really, to say, yeah, no, that doesn't look good on you. I've had that many people, and I'll just, you know, we're talking about vulnerability. I've always, weight is something that I've struggled with. It's always my struggle. It's up 10, down 20, up 10. And having people that will tell you the truth about what you're wearing. I go through phases of my life where I'll wear a tent when I'm not feeling good about myself. And my makeup artist, Anissa, will tell me, okay, you've got yards of extra cloth hanging off of your body. This is really unflattering. So having people that will tell you, yeah, that looks good on you, or that, not so much. Why do you like that? And people will ask me, to Kimmy's point, why do you want to wear that dress? Right? Well, it makes me feel good because it hides. No, you don't want that. So have people around you that are going to help you to do that audit. Just like with online dating photos, and I'm sure you know this too, this research shows we don't pick the best photos of ourselves.
No. Oh my gosh.
Others to do that for us. So here, if you take something from this, with this great advice Kimmy's giving you, do not think that you're going to go in there and do this on your own. What you probably can do on your own is say, yeah, I need more color because my wardrobe looks like Darth Vader's or Luke Skywalker's, which is like all black or all white. I was a former all black gray. I thought white and cream were colors, right? Like that's fine. And gray is a color. No. And now my closet looks like Skittles. So here are some things. So I can tell you personally, Kimmy went through this. I went through this, and we teach this now. So if this resonates with you, build a village of people around you, hire Kimmy, get some help. Help is out there, guys. You don't have to go this alone.
I love that. And you know, some of the things that you were talking about too, I do virtual makeovers, by the way, too. So I help people all over, but it is having an outside perspective. It's hard to see yourself, but beyond that, also, what is a sexy style? So there's a difference between having just like a professional style or a mommy style or a daddy style than a dating style. And not too many people pay attention to what the opposite sex likes. You know, and so that's super fun also looking at what makes you feel sexy, but also how you're advertising yourself, right? Because there was a woman that I was working with and she came to me just for, you know, dating coaching. She's like, Kimmy, help me talk to men. And I, you know, my style's fine. It doesn't need any tweaking or that kind of thing. And she's actually coming on my podcast because she's one of my success stories because she came and she showed up in this huge shawl. She was like a cocoon wrapped up in a black shawl. Even though her clothes were expensive and they were nice, they were not serving her in the dating world, you know? And even the clothes underneath the shawl were just kind of big and loose and dull colors. And the first thing, you know what? The first thing I had her do was wear red lipstick for a week. I said, just wear red lipstick and see the impact it has just on you and how other people receive it. She came back. She's like, oh my gosh, Kimmy. That red bullet, that magic red bullet. I'm like, what happened? She's like, well, I did it. And all these guys started talking to me. I didn't know what the heck was going on. And so it really, like, again, it was symbiotic, right? Because men kind of noticed this brightness about her. And then it gave her the courage to talk back. And from there, I created a monster, quite honestly, because then I got her like all these sexy clothes with lots of bling and color. And she just started feeling sexy. Because here, at the end of the day, this is what I want everyone to get. It's not about changing who you are. It's about marketing yourself so someone gets to know who you are. And when you love you and you look in the mirror and you say, I'm sexy, that's when the other people will too.
Absolutely. And how you dress makes a big impact on your own confidence. And it's this virtuous cycle. When you have that red dress moment, right? It goes from the outside in. You start to see, oh, wow, people are looking at me differently. Maybe I do look pretty. Maybe I can own this color and own this dress. And that builds your confidence. And then you carry yourself differently. And then when you feel that confidence from the inside, how do you think people on the outside start to respond? So it's this amazing, virtuous cycle. So Kimmy, when you get men and women coming in for makeovers, like what are some tips that you can give our women and our men listening to this, especially if they're stalled out in the dating world, or they just want something, they just want something to do tonight for a date they're on. Tell us what women want from men, what men want from women, I guess what women want from women. Just give us your best.
Right. Oh my gosh. That's a big question. I'll try to narrow it down for each sex. So, sure. I mean, I'll let's start with the men. I call them manovers. So men, I love you men because you're very, more simple in the way that you think, right? And men are all about what's effective and what's efficient. And so when I do manovers, a lot of times men are like, okay, do you like this? All right, I'll get five of them. You know, like if you know some key pieces to wear, then it'll be a lot easier. But here's what men need to know is that women do care and we do look. Men always think that, oh, they're the only visual ones. We're all visual. And if anything, sometimes women are worse. But for men, I would say a big mistake that they make and one thing they can do right now is that they wear things too big. So if you haven't been shopping in a while, man, it would behoove you to either, you know, hire Bella or myself or have an outside perspective and help you get like some updated styles that are more fitted. Okay. And also like to your point, when people gain weight, a lot of times people wear things bigger, feeling like it conceals that area. It's actually the opposite.
Yeah.
When you wear things more fitted, it'll actually make you look thinner and longer and leaner, even though it's counterintuitive. So for men, that would be my tip. Now for women, I would say that every woman needs a dress in their wardrobe. That is something that most men find attractive, if that's what you're into. And it also makes you feel more feminine. But I get a lot of pushback from women because it's like, oh, I live in a cold climate, or that's not me. I love working, if that's you, with you women, and finding a style that does work for you, because there is something about a woman in a dress that has a beautiful, just kind of feminine flair, both in her energy and also it's easier to put on, quite honestly. It's easier to throw on a dress than it is pairing all these different things. So once you find the style and the brand that works for you, it becomes actually really fun. I've had that happen to a lot of women.
It's so interesting. When I started Smart Dating Academy, you know, I had come out of the corporate world and I worked for a manufacturing company, and I was, you know, Hillary Clinton's vice president of pantsuits, constantly black, gray. And now I have an entire rack of dresses. My wardrobe, people joke, it looks like Skittles. Here's the red and here's the yellow, here's the orange and here's the green. But really, to Kimmy's point, finding yourself that dress. And I promise you, every day at Smart Dating Academy, when we're saying men love feminine styles, and I know you know Rachel Greenwald, and Rachel trained me, and Rachel wrote this great book called Have Him at Hello. And in that book, she says that 84% of men surveyed, and this is men from their 20s to their 70s across all socioeconomic and educational backgrounds, 84% that they would said that they would love to see their first date showing up in a dress or a skirt, right? So the data is there. And she surveyed, I think, over 1,500 men on that. So what Kimmy's saying and what I'm telling you is right. And there are so many different types of dresses and styles. And once you start with a dress and dresses, to Kimmy is from Chicago, so she knows we are cold and gray 8 months out of the year, all the way to living in sunny La La Land. And with a dress, if you're in the Midwest, if you're in the Northeast and it's cold, you can do tights, you can do cute boots, you can do a cute cardigan and a belt over a dress. There's so many ways that you can play up your femininity over a dress. But immediately when you put that dress on, it gives you a little bit of that feminine, girly energy. And I know that, again, remember, because I was the manufacturing pantsuit queen. And yes, you can all give me your flack around that, because I don't talk about that often.
Oh my God, we would be hot commodities together. The Hillary Clinton look with a frumpy mommy. Yeah, it was really... Oh,
Burke's nursing bras and pantsuits.
Horrible. Yeah, that's not a good combo. But to your point, like, yeah, when you put it on, you do, like you said, embody a different energy. And I work a lot with body language. You know, I do these wing gal sessions where I go out in the field and I work with people on how to flirt, how to interact. And a lot of times women and men don't realize that, like, if they're not putting themselves out there, even with the clothes that they wear, it affects their body language. They seem like they're hiding more in their body, you know? And so when I do these manovers, makeovers, what have you, first before doing the wing gal session, it's like night and day. It's night and day how they move in even to the room. They're standing a little bit taller. You slow down your walk, you know, smiling, making eye contact. I know we're bleeding more into the social intelligence, but
no, let's go there. Let's go there. First, let's go there. Let's go there. Yeah. Go into this. Go into flirting. It's so super juicy. I love that you do these wing woman or wing girl sessions. Tell us, you know, 3 to 5 things. Flirting makes even the most confident person go, oh my God, I'm confident, but I don't know how to flirt. And I tell them flirting is about connecting, right? Don't make it so daunting. So tell us what we can do if we're men, if we're women, as we're coming out of pandemic, knock on wood, and we go back to social events. We're socially anxious, right? Number one. So you need to get yourselves back out there. So Kimmy, give us your best on how do we take, now we've restyled ourselves. We've got color, we've got cut, we've got great pieces. We've had a wardrobe audit. Now we're going into the real world. How do I flirt? How do I flirt?
Oh, Bella. Oh my God. Well, you're a flirt, first of all. You do it naturally. And to your point, it is about connection and energy. But here's the thing. And I, like, literally, we could probably do a whole other podcast on this because I'm so passionate about this topic. I do flirt workshops now, and both with men and women, and we do a lot of practice. And here's the thing that's fascinating about flirting is that it raises a lot of hairs, right? And eyebrows when you say that word. There's so many associations around it. So I love asking people what their definition of flirting is. And from a therapist's point of view, a lot of us have attachments to that word for many different reasons, and that trips us up. But here's the kicker. When you look in the dictionary of what flirting is, it's to behave as though you are attracted to someone without the serious intention of an outcome. And I love that, because that last part, being attached to the outcome, is what trips everybody up, because flirting is not supposed to be about, and then here's what the fears are and excuses I hear. Well, I don't want to give that person the wrong, you know, idea. I want him to like me for my intelligence, not my body. I'm not good at it. The list goes on and on and on. But the truth is, it's not about any of that. It's about being playful and connecting and creating a magnetic energy that just draws people to you in that moment. And when you let go of the outcome, you let go of the anxiety of all the things that, but what ifs, you need to think about what is. And so a lot of the sexual connotations that people have around it also is what trips people up. But if you think of it being more in your play than anything else, it really helps people. But letting go and playing is really hard for a lot of people. So when I'm teaching them a couple things, right? Like, style is definitely part of it. And that's the first thing, is first you got to dress the part, but then how do you embody it? So the second is the body language. And there are a lot of different body language tips that I love giving people. You know, both men and women have different body signals, and there's so much research out there, and even the subconscious signals. But I would say, on a very simple level, really paying attention to the eye contact and smiling. And that's for both sexes, you know, because we, to your point, we've been wearing the masks. We're coming out of the pandemic. Just because we had our mask on didn't mean we couldn't make eye contact, yet none of us did. Like, we avoided eye contact and smiling with that mask. So our social muscle is a little atrophied, and so we need to exercise it. But a lot of you might not have been exercised even before the pandemic hit. So really just going out and practicing making eye contact and smiling and just saying hi. It's such a simple thing, but I promise you, when you do that, that's the first, you know, connection that you make. There's so many RBFs out there. I don't know if I can say what that means on this podcast.
You can. Resting bitch face, people.
Right. We all know it. I mean, I didn't make it up, but it's a known thing. And this is real, people. Like, I've seen it and I'm trying to eradicate it one by one. But, you know, even when you think you're not doing the RBFs, a lot of people are. And it's just, we're so busy and we're so like pulled in. So just opening yourself up and smiling is the first thing. And then just like the posture too, you know, being open with your posture and slowing down the walk and really notice who's noticing you.
Yeah.
Like, that is huge. Like, all these people that I coach, they're going a mile a minute. I'm like, oh, wait, did you just see that person checking you out? Oh no, I was just so busy getting to where we're going to go. I'm like, well, you're so busy to where you're going to go and try to go flirt that you miss the opportunity to flirt in between, you know? So it's just an interesting thing to like slow down and think about. And then the final thing I teach about is communication, right? Conversation tricks, how we move a conversation. That's again, a whole other thing.
So I love so much of what you said. I love everything you said. And I think if you're listening to this, right, and you're still hung up on the word flirting and you think that means you have to stick your boobs out or, you know, dress Gucci or, you know, dudes, you've got to be like Rico Suave. No, what Kimmy said was great. And I'm going to paraphrase the definition of flirting, but it's making someone feel like you're attracted to them. This is not about you. It's making the other person feel good about themselves, like you are interested in them. So if you're fully invested in making that person across from you feel good about themselves, you know what you cannot do concurrently? You cannot be anxious about yourself. So if your goal is, I'm just going to go out and flirt with 5 people in the grocery store. Okay. And I have my clients do this. I don't care if they're men. I don't care if it's the stocking guy. I don't care if it's the cashier or the old lady. Look at people, smile, and say something nice. Look for what is good in them. And then tell them what's good. That is your first step in being an amazing flirt, is making people feel good about themselves. And that's not manipulative. When you look for what's authentically good in somebody, all you're doing is putting more love into the world by telling them what's good about them, what you notice about them. I would say, Kimmy, I love, love, love your hot pink shirt. It is gorgeous. And your matching berry lip, you're like so on point and you're so bright and beautiful looking. Aww. Right? And when you look for what's good in somebody and you tell them, you are giving them love. And guess what they're going to do? They're going to give you or someone else love. It's the best way to elevate the vibration for yourself and to practice flirting. It is not about you. It is about making the other person feel good about themselves and not being attached to the outcome.
Exactly. And Bella, I think you just flirted with me. Were you just demonstrating the flirt?
I was. I wanted to see
and
if
it could be that
grab,
easy.
Yeah. I wanted to see if we could grab a cocktail together.
Oh my God, please do. But that is the point. And what Bella's saying is that, like, you know, too many times we get too target specific and who we're flirting with too, is that when you let go of that and you flirt with, you know, babies and dogs and girls and boys and like all, it's flirting with life. That's when opportunity happens, because you don't know who's watching you. Your magnetic energy is going to be so attractive no matter where you are. I have so many stories around that where, you know, people met people just because they were flirting with someone else and someone else noticed them, you know? And so it's not always the person that you're talking to, but also not worrying about what that person is about. People worry like, oh, well, that person's married, or maybe that person is a girlfriend, boyfriend. Just make a connection, to your point, you know, when you said that. There was a woman I coached. This is just a cute, funny story based on what we're talking about. And she was trying to learn how to flirt. So I was demonstrating with her at the bar and everything. And then it was her turn to initiate. And who sits next to her but a gentleman who was like 20 years our senior, and he was married. Like everything was against, you know, like what she thought that she could do when it came to flirting. So she looked at me, she's like, Kimmy, I can't. I said, oh, yes, you can. I expect when I get back from the bathroom that you're going to be talking to him. And so she's like, oh, okay. So I get back and she is talking to him and we start flirting and having fun. He was awesome. Okay. Just awesome. He was married. He was from New Zealand. Funny, funny, funny guy. And he was telling the story of how he met his wife. And it was just beautiful. And halfway through the conversation, he's like, are either one of you single by chance? I said, oh yeah, my friend is, who was my client. And he says, oh, great. I really thought you would say that. And I was hoping that, because I have a friend for you. Oh. I said, well, where is he? Bring him out. And he's like, I will. So we get information and we met him out later. And I created like a monster, because we had like guys around us and we're flirting, and in walks the New Zealander with his friend, who was drop dead gorgeous, my client's age. They hit it off and they ended up dating. So it's like, think about the it all started from talking to a married man who she never thought. So really learning to not getting attached to the outcome and making those connections is just crucial.
Oh my gosh. And so how did she start the conversation with him at the bar? Like, give us a, cause I know everyone's like, I want the hot New Zealand guy. How do I start the conversation? Because I'll start it with what most people are afraid of. Most people are afraid of the rejection, or I'm married, or getting some sort of a negative response. So how do you overcome the fear of rejection, the fear of saying something wrong, into starting a conversation?
I'm so glad you asked that, because that's one of the things that I do. And as a therapist, I know, like, there actually are 5 dating fears that I talk about a lot. I'm not going to go into all of them, but the top one being rejection. And that's what trips us all up a lot of times. So it's like, first of all, the best way of getting over that fear is doing it over and over and over again, right? Like that's why I consider myself a strategist more than even a coach or a therapist these days, because I just think we need strategies that are put in place that create new habits. And how you do that is just putting yourself in practice over and over and over again. The more you do it, the less of a hit it'll be. Anything that will help ground you before walking into, you know, a situation, taking a deep breath, you know, like listening to music, getting more in your body is going to really help with that too. I find that like 9 times out of 10, the people who get really nervous or get, you know, like attached to the outcome and all that are in their heads. Like how many of you listening are in your head all the time? And if you can get out of your head and stop overanalyzing everything and get more into your body, that's going to help. So dance, put on music, you know, do things that will really get into that spirit of being flirty and fun. And then finally, it's really understanding some of those conversation tricks. Like I have a social engagement formula that I teach people that moves conversations from your head into something that's more personal, storytelling, and fun. And I think that's another mistake that people make is that they'll have a conversation. Well, they'll start with like a very factual, safe, boring kind of conversation. The best conversations are usually whimsical and playful, you know? And so that can be really hard for a lot of people. And learning how to do that is just, it makes conversations more fun and also be more connected when you come from a place of something that's more personal than factual.
I love that. Can you give us like some hints around this social engagement formula so people can kind of wrap their head around how do you not be boring? I think that's another fear of people. Oh my God, I'm boring. I'm not a good conversationalist. I don't have anything to say like, oh, what do you do for work? What about you? Where do you live? Like, how do we open up with something playful or whimsical? Is it about preparing?
No, it's just the opposite.
Okay, good. I'm learning too, you guys.
Oh my God. No, people ask me all the time, Kimmy, can you just give me a couple lines that I can say?
Just a script.
And the answer is, and oh no, because that is the reason why you're tripping up in the first place is that you're trying to analyze and memorize versus just be. And so I work with a lot of high achievers. I know you do too. And if you're a perfectionist high achiever, this is counterintuitive for you.
Yes.
You want to study, right? You want to study the script so that you can go in feeling better. One thing I will say, again, it's a bigger conversation. And obviously like when I work with people, it's putting them into practice of this stuff is when you're getting away from the facts and you're getting more personal in the way that you ask questions, that's like the first thing. And also don't be scared of playing a game. The thing that a lot of people get into is the Q&A sessions, right? I call it the LinkedIn exchange,
right?
Oh, horrible. Like, or even the DMs, right? You've seen this, you know, how are you? I'm good. How are you? I'm fine. Right. How is your, oh my God, don't do it. So don't be scared about having a little fun and answering a question with a question, for instance. So if somebody asks you, what do you do for a living? I'll just give a tip right here because this is what I do with all my clients. I go back and say, well, what do you think I do? And I play a game. Like, how fun is that? Like, then you're getting these people to guess what you do for a living. Do you know that 9 times out of 10, I never even say what I do? Like, people don't really care. It's more fun playing a guessing game on what you do than actually what you do for a living. You can have that conversation on LinkedIn if you want. And if you end up dating that person, great. It's not about what you do. It's about the passion and the personality and the feelings that you have when you're with somebody. Because if you like that person, if there's a feeling that gets solicited from that interaction, that's when you want to move on with them. It's not about what you know. It's about how you feel.
I love that. That's so funny. That reminds me of a story, a client of mine, high achiever in her early 30s, went to Harvard and came back to Chicago and said, okay, I'm hiring you because when I'm here and I'm out and when people are like, oh, where'd you go to school? I said, it's like dropping the H-bomb, right? It's the Harvard bomb. And suddenly guys go scurrying away like, oh, you're that way. And so we deployed, we gamified it. And this is exactly, so when they would ask Lindsay, where did you go to school? And she said, you know what? I'm going to give you 3 guesses and I'll tell you if you're getting warmer or colder, right? Because what is that? Yeah. That is the antithesis of what you would expect an Ivy League graduate to do. You would expect them to say, well, I went to Harvard University and Cambridge. How about you? And when she gamified this, she's like, I'm going to give you 3 chances to guess where I went. They're like, I don't know. Maybe you went to U of I. Maybe you went to Michigan, because then she seemed like a good homegrown Midwestern fun girl in a bar. And so by the time they got to the third guest, no one ever guessed it was Harvard. And by that time, she would smile and she's like, okay, I'm going to drop the H-bomb. I actually went to Harvard. And then I came back here because I love the Midwest, right? And so now she's already established herself as somebody fun and playful in their minds. And she is now married and she has two babies.
Oh,
yeah.
It all started with the game. No, but
start the game, exactly. Be playful.
And around that, because you asked about just kind of the story too, what was so good about that is it got her into this kind of playful state. And so he probably liked that, you know, just the playfulness of the conversation. And if somebody asks you about school, like that's another mistake that people make is that they'll answer at face value and say, I went to Harvard. Like even if it wasn't Harvard, even if it was just another college, then people get that into that fact-driven conversation. So I went to Harvard University, I studied law and speech communication, and they go into the class. If you get into your story, like that also is effective. So, in, you know, you could say, I went to Harvard and gosh, I loved Harvard. It was a time in my life where I just felt so carefree. And I have the funniest story to share with you. And, you know, and then start going into the story of something that happened to you. Because again, that story is more rooted into the person again versus the fact.
That's right. And remember, as human beings, our brains are wired to remember stories.
Yes.
Right? We were storytellers and ancient. I mean, if you think back thousands and thousands and thousands of years ago, before we had written language and we could write out our stories and pass them down to generation, we told stories. And so our brains are wired to remember and to receive and to be captivated by story. So when you think of what's made you, you, it's funny. We have a module that we work on with our clients called the dating resume, and it's preparing for a date like you would prepare for a job interview, but not over prepping, Kim, to your point. Mm-hmm. It's more thinking about fun stories about yourself, about things that you did at work growing up so that you can have these playful conversations. But sometimes it's hard. Like you need to sit back and go, oh my God, I never thought about this. Is so funny. I won a hula hoop contest in fifth grade. That's so cute, right? And talking about these things that make you, you, because if you're sitting there listening and you're telling yourself, I'm boring, I don't have anything interesting about me, I promise you, call me, call Kimmy, you are not boring. Every human being and you, listener, listening to this podcast with smart people, I promise you, you are a beautiful tapestry of a bunch of different experiences, and you just need somebody to tap, tap, tap a little bit and help draw those things out of you. So be excited that you can do this. You can connect with people. You do have charisma. And charisma is not something you are born with. It is something that you can learn. You can learn the style intelligence. You can learn the emotional intelligence. You can learn the social intelligence. So Kimmy, you are a goddess for a thousand reasons. Thank you so much for being with me, for being on our show, and for dropping all these gems. I learned so much, and I'm so elevated by talking to you today.
Oh my gosh. It's so likewise. And see, it is that charisma. And I love what you said at the end is really, that's what excites me about charisma. And that's why it's the name of my podcast, The Charisma Quotient too, because it is something you can learn. And so if you're listening to this and you're feeling, well, I don't even know where to start, you know, just starting small in each of these areas, it will add up to the bigger success. Just do one thing. Maybe just put on a red lipstick, right? For your style intelligence, maybe for your emotional intelligence, just say no. Set some boundaries for yourself. And for the flirting, for the social, you know, the social intelligence, make eye contact, like use what Bella said, you know, five guys in one day and just see what it feels like, and then go home and journal about it, and then do it again the next day. You know, that's going to build the confidence and create success in your life.
Exactly. And you're not looking at rejection with that. You're looking to say, did I do the five? I'm not attached to the outcome. I don't care if they looked back at me. I don't care if they smiled back at me. Did I do my five today? Right. And we do this with our clients. Like there's no, like flirt with a kid, flirt with an old lady, flirt with a dog. I don't care. Make eye contact and say something nice to somebody. So Kimmy, thank you for your brilliance. And we will absolutely have you back again for more conversation. So thank you.
Oh my God, you're so welcome. And I have a free gift for the listeners.
Oh, yay! Gift! If we love gifts!
I did a little flirt bomb in the beginning, so I have to like carry through. And so if anyone would like a style guide, so for women, I have a style guide and it helps you measure like what your body type is. And you're measuring, and it has nothing to do with your weight, just so you know. Women hear about the tape, the measuring tape, and they get freaked out. It's about your bone structure. So once you measure yourself, you'll know which body type you are. My guide goes into what clothes flatter your figure and what clothes to stay away from. And for men, I have a man's fashion manifesto that goes over your body types, but it also goes over a little grooming tips. Cause let's face it, like men need, you know, trim the nose hairs. You're like the little things make a big difference, go a long way. And so if you want that, you can just go to kimmyseltzer.com/style to pick that up.
Yay. Thank you, Kimmy. We love you.
Love you too.
Thanks for listening. And as always, download us, share us, show us the love. Follow Instagram at Smart Dating Academy. And if you or someone you know wants to learn more, check out our website at smartdatingacademy.com. We're here to bring you love.